Hello everyone, I would like to welcome you to the NESG Radio. It is my pleasure to welcome Dr. Femi Idowu Adegoge. He's the Special Assistant to the Honorable Minister of State for Environment and the Thematic Lead Secular Economy, Nigerian Economic Group Sustainability Policy Commission. Welcome, sir.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. So we'll just go right straight to the questions. Given the climate that we have now in Nigeria with our land restorations, what do you think are the current challenges that we face concerning land restoration, drought resilience in Nigeria?
Okay, thank you very much, Ese. So first, let me first say Happy World Environment Day. And in the World Environment Day, its aim is to encourage communities to take action towards protecting the environment. I need to first lay that foundation so that we know that we're not just doing this for fun. And from your question that says on land restoration, desertification and drought resilience, how does that resonate with the current environmental problems in Nigeria? I will say for a very long time, we've had desert encroachment in Nigeria, which has led to the farmer herders clashes. So everyone is aware of that. That's one of the challenges that has befallen Nigeria through deforestation, land degradation, and drought. But having said that, one of the challenges is lack of enough education, awareness among the populace, among the people, and development of resilience, adaptation principles to these challenges. So I think Nigeria is doing well now because under the Federal Ministry of Environment, Nigeria has an agency who is saddled with the responsibility of reforestation, apart from the Department of Drought Management, Afforestation and Desertification Management. There's a particular department. We still have an agency called the Great Green Wall, Nigerian Great Green Wall Agency. And that is looking at, there are, I think, 11 northern states that have been affected with desertification, drought and deforestation majorly. And what the agency is to do is to afforest and plant trees and plant crops, looking at nature-based solutions to protect those environments, regenerate those lands that have been either degraded or deforested. So that's my response to that.
Okay, thank you so much for your response. I completely agree with you on that. So another thing is, so what are the main drivers of desertification in Nigeria? And what steps can be taken to address these causes?
Okay. One major one that we cannot shy away from is the climate change, a result of climate change, and we can mitigate and we can adapt as well. But apart from the issue of climate change impact on our environment as well, as we all know that Nigeria or Africa, we contribute minimally to the adverse effect of the issue, things that leads to climate change. But we also, the developing countries, which Nigeria is one of them, we bear the brunt of the adverse of the impact of climate change, which one of them is a result of desertification. So the steps that need to be taken. Also, let me quickly add this before I go to the steps. Also, our own agricultural practices
in Nigeria also contribute. We need to develop our agroforestry to be more resilient, to keep our environment, to keep our land forested. So now, those are the causes or the drivers. And then, like I said earlier on, the lack of education, awareness, and incentives towards doing certain things. And then also, there has to be consequence for, there's a lot of tree felling, illegal logging going on. So these are things that leads to deforestation and desertification in the land. So what are we to do? Educate the people more, make the people own our forest. Because Nigeria has a lot of forested areas that have been tampered or degraded. So there has to be consequence for that, and there has to be incentives for people who are going to agroforestry. Because if there are no incentives, people will not know why I should be doing it. People need to know why we're not supposed to deforest, why we're not supposed to have illegal logging, why we're supposed to practice sustainable agroforestry. So I think we need to do more in our communication to the both the common man and the industry-based people.
Okay. Thank you so much for that response, sir. And speaking of the negative impacts that Nigeria is getting, we know that Nigeria submitted its national determined contributions in 2015, and then it was revised in 2021. But currently, what do you think our progress is towards these NDCs that were revised in 2021?
Well, there has been, the question is, what do I think the progress of the national determined contributions since 2021? Yes, the 2021 NDC added more area of concentration like waste and water, and also it looked at nature-based solutions, which was different, totally different from what we had, I think, in 2015. And after that, between 2021 and 20 and now, I can categorically tell you that actions have been taken towards bringing those additions to bear. Recently, Nigeria has signed up the roadmap for circular economy, which we are working on the implementation plan. So those are part of what is being looked at. Also, there is an interministerial committee on beyond oil and gas. We're not going to do our oil and gas, because we know oil and gas is our main source. But Nigeria is beginning to look beyond oil and gas, looking at other sources of revenue, other sources of energy, renewable energy, and which also keys into our the net zero and national energy transition program. So I believe in the last 3 years, Nigeria has taken bold steps and towards these national determined contributions. Yeah.
Thank you so much, sir. Yes, I agree. Nigeria has taken some bold steps. Like you mentioned, the roadmap to the circular economy and the interministerial committee. So beyond these, what do you think are the key policy priorities for the Nigerian economy to effectively address What are the key policy priorities for the Nigerian economy to effectively address What are the key policy priorities for the Nigerian economy to effectively address desertification and improve land resilience?
Okay, yes. The policy priorities first, like I said, must be to come up with a national, which we have, there's a national policy under the Ministry of Environment, Department of Forestry, and like I mentioned, the agency, but that needs to cascade down. There has to be a proper roadmap, a monitored and evaluated progress of what we're doing, and the good report, good and efficient reporting system of actions that are taken, milestones that have been achieved. Also, like I said, there has to be a national orientation on desertification and to improve land resilience. People need to know what to do, and that must be taken down to the grassroots. There has to be a nexus between the national and the subnationals on these critical issues. We cannot work in isolations. We cannot work in silos. It has to be work together to achieve a resilient land process for us in Nigeria to combat desertification, because desertification will lead to drought, and that will lead to food insecurity as well. And like the example I gave earlier on about the Edzers farmers clashes, were one of the major impact of desertification is the herders and farmers clashes, which has led to food shortage, loss of life, loss of properties. Farmers can go to. So we need to begin to educate our people. We need to have an holistic approach. We need to encourage, as in incentivize, Nigerians to practice agroforestry, like I have said. All these must accumulate together to work towards achieving the resilience that we so much desire.
Thank you, sir. I think you've mentioned about the government's role in desertification. I think now we would like to know, how important is corporate social responsibility in addressing environmental issues relating to desertification and drought resilience in Nigeria?
Oh, thank you very much. This question is one that is very, very dear to my heart. For people who know me, I don't call it corporate social responsibility. I don't, because when you call it corporate social responsibility, you make it to the industry players, the corporate bodies, it becomes like a charity, or it becomes like, well, it's optional. I always call CSR compulsory social responsibility. I believe it should be compulsory. For example, you know, the banking industry in Nigeria, they have an annual sustainability report which they have to submit to CBN. So I believe that such things as encourage banks to take part, to be part of what is happening around environmental sustainability. It has to go across board. There are laws, there are rules, there are policies within the Nigerian system to enforce or to encourage private sectors to take part or to be key part of environmental sustainability programs. I don't necessarily believe it's corporate social. I believe it should be a responsibility, a compulsory or a national responsibility for everyone, because the danger of climate change, it's staring everyone in the face. It's not just for environmentalists. It's cut across every industry. Manufacturers, we are all feeling the pinch. And all by so doing, the solution must come from every one of us. Everyone has a part to play, and it's now or never. Inaction is not an option for us. We must take climate actions very, very seriously. And I believe government needs to enforce some of these or most of these laws and regulations to make the private sectors comply.
Thank you so much, sir. I think you've mentioned a little bit about this already. I know we've spoken about private sector. You've also talked a bit about the citizens' role as well, but just a little more deep dive. How can Nigerian citizens participate in land restoration and environmental conservation efforts? And what grassroots initiatives can be adopted to address land degradation and improve resilience in Nigerian communities?
Okay, I'll just give a quick example for citizens. Well, citizens need to begin to practice small scale farming, and also those that are into agro businesses also must begin to educate the citizens. The citizens must not just say see something, say nothing. You must see something and you must say something. When you see someone who is deforesting illegally, what I mean is illegal logging, there has to be a reporting system. Citizens are supposed to be for what we call intelligence gathering. So the citizens at the grassroots level, we can have environmental clubs who are at the grassroots level, at community levels. Some areas are doing it, but it needs to be a national thing. For example, Nigeria has we have an agency under the Ministry of Environment called the National Parks Agency. They are in charge of all the Nigerian national parks, and they have their national parks policing the national parks, where you can't just go into those parks and take any animals or organisms, or take down any trees, or do illegal logging, take away plants and all of that. So that must not just be at the national parks. That should be encouraged at our local levels, at our community levels. When you see people damaging the land, you should be able to report and you should be able to stop them. That we're in the digital world now. You can take pictures, you can take videos, and this can be shared with the authority, and such persons can be taken responsibility. We don't have to, the responsibility that person will take could come with different measures. That person can be asked to plant trees, that person can be asked to go into a farm and work. It doesn't have to be financial a burden. That's what I'm trying to explain, because some citizens will say, you want us to pay fine again. It doesn't have to be fine. It can be national service. It can be social service. People can be taken to work in farms, in forestries, or taken to like the national park and get educated so that they know why they're not meant to do what they were doing initially. So we begin to reorientate. There is need for a national reorientation towards environmental sustainability, towards deforestation, towards drought and desertification. So I believe the people are meant to protect their land, and the people are meant to protect the universe or the planet Earth, because we don't have any other one. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you. I completely agree. I think we've spoken about the initiatives that they can take on a grassroots level. Now, just on the other side, what do you think are the major challenges they are in mobilizing the community for environmental sustainability in Nigeria?
Well, one of the challenges is, like I've mentioned it earlier, but I'll reiterate it now, is communication at our local community. A lot of people don't even understand what we're talking about when we're talking about environmental sustainability. So we need to be able to communicate rightly, communicate the right information. And one of the things I've been an advocate of is to be able to communicate environmental issues, environmental sustainability in our local languages, in our local dialect. And I believe if we do that more at the grassroots level, then people understand why. Because a lot of people see, they experience the environmental impact, the adverse impact of climate change, the adverse impact of all these actions and inactions that we're creating or we're doing to destroy our environment. The people at the grassroots, the people at the community level, they experience the adverse effect, but they do not understand why that is happening. So we need to explain, we need to educate, we need to encourage, and we need to make them part of the solution. So there is a need for education at the community level, and there's a need for projects, what I call mini or pilot projects at each community level. And for example, for people, when someone haven't eaten or does not have the basics thing of life, and you're telling them about environmental degradation or what's it called, or drought, the certification, environmental sustainability and all of that, they're going to look at you in the face and say, what are you saying? Because we're speaking English. But when you can relate it in their language, that look, if this thing keeps happening, you will not be able to go to farm, you will not even have land to farm, to have your food, to have your survival. There will be flood, there will be this. So people understand that when they degrade the land, the impact is coming as well. It's going to affect their livelihood. That's the word. People need to know that this, our actions and inactions towards environmental sustainability, affects our livelihood. So people should not just think, oh, is it going to give me food? Is it going to put food on my table? But eminently, it affects our food production. It affects our survival. It affects our livelihood, because there has been a nexus, it's been campaigned and championed that there is nexus, a very deep nexus between climate change and the health lately. So health and climate change are taken seriously, and that's why it has to be taken to the community level, where the environmental health officers, community health officers must work together to educate the people at the community level. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. I definitely agree with you. There's need to explain, educate, and localize the solutions in order to address and promote land restoration and resilience. Again, I would like to really thank you for making it on the NESG Radio today. Your inputs and contributions have been highly appreciated. We look forward to having you in more sessions. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you very much, Essay.
It's been fantastic having you with us. To listen to more episodes, please be sure to visit our website, www.nesgroup.org/podcast. Until next time, bye for now.